You would have probably received earlier on this week a blurb that I had sent. Did anybody receive that? Did anybody read it? I hope you didn't read it because that was actually my sermon. It was my sermon notes. Everything was abbreviated in it. But I'm glad you did take a look at it because that's a message that I want to speak to you about this morning. What actually happened? Why I was thinking about all of this stuff during the week. That PowerPoint's not working? No, it's not working. It's okay. What I wanted to speak about, I was reading Matthew 27. I've sort of been looking at it a couple of weeks. I've been looking at betrayal and I've been looking at about all of this stuff to do with Jesus, his crucifixion, his death, his resurrection. And there was a particular passage. You don't turn to Matthew 27 because we've got another verse to turn to, but I just wanted to, there's a particular passage that I really wanted to focus on. And this particular passage came from verse 22 in Matthew 27. What shall I do then with Jesus who is called the Messiah? Pilate asked. And did you know what they did? What did they do? They crucified him. And as I was thinking about this, I started to write things down and I do dot points and I sort of fill everything in else and we sent it by mistake and I'm glad you took the time to read it. I really wanted to focus on what we do with Jesus and how the world sees us. So that's what today's message is. What then shall I do with Jesus? What shall we do with Jesus? Let's turn... open up our Bibles this morning to Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. I'll give you a moment to reach that stage. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. Let's read it, shall we? Therefore, if you have any encouragement for being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness, compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility. Value others above yourselves, not looking at your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Isn't that a wonderful passage, this one, hey, so far? So good. It is so good. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, okay, this is where it starts, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, rather to make himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, but being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Christ Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. 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 What a passage. What a powerful passage that is when we read it. But what I wanted to say is, in the world today, when we mention the name Jesus, what do people say? Do you mention the name Jesus? Do you find yourself ostracized by the world? Do you find yourself immediately outside, scrutinized, all of this stuff? You know, you're brainwashed by what the world says to you and thinks about you and stuff like that. Is this something that's important to you? Mentioning the name of Jesus. Let me tell you where I'm going with this. The week before, I happened to be at a dentist with my teeth. It's a long story. I can do without them. I got a courtesy call from my period care because they want to put a cap on my bottom teeth. You know what? My period wants to see him and he's giving me a free consultation. Every time I go and see him, it's about $700 out of pocket. So now, you know what I think it is, Malcolm? I think he wants to put an implant, which would cost me about $7,000, so I'm not going. But I was at a dentist getting a tooth repaired, and that's the thing. And I won't tell you the dentist or anything like that, but starting conversation. You know when you got all the instruments in your mouth, and you know, what do you do for a living? I took it out for a minute and said, what do you do for a living? And I said, look, I'm a Baptist pastor. I love Jesus. I'm saying all of that. They were talking really nice to me beforehand, you know, joking. But then, boom. And I thought to myself, what have I done? I thought, what have I done here? I thought, okay. I said, that's okay. No problem. And as I was leaving, they were having a bit of a chuckle, and I thought, oh, yeah, here we go. And I was probably chuckling at the price I have to pay afterwards. But there's a passage here that Jesus says here, and it's in John 15, 18 to 25, and it says this. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. Are you hearing this stuff? But I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, what's going to happen to us? If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name. For they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have seen, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in the law. They hated me without reason. We see this in our world today, and that really should cause our hearts to break. That people hate Jesus. That people are so indifferent to God. They are so indifferent. You know, and it aches me that there are billions and billions of people around the world who do not know Christ Jesus. Yes, there are some beautiful Christians amongst them as well, who are doing it really tough. Christians who are being martyred as we speak, and they meet together, you know, because of the name of Jesus. And they're not afraid. I think I was talking to John was mentioning the other day, there's a couple of pastors in China who were arrested. Their church was actually, whilst they were worshipping together, their church was actually being ripped apart, and these two guys were put in jail. Have you heard what's happened to them? You know, so there are those. But when you mention the name of Jesus, some people are going to rage against you. They will become angry with you. You know, as I was looking at this, and as I was going through stuff, because it happened to be Halloween the other day, and how everybody celebrated Halloween, and they had a ball, and you know, they thought it was fun. You know, I thought if we mention the name Jesus, they will rage against us. And as I was looking at the website and all of this stuff during the last couple of weeks, what people said about Jesus. You know, there were some websites that were calling Jesus Hitler, and they were calling Jesus all sorts of horrible things about my king, your king. You know, millions of people rage against the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said in Matthew 10:22, you will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? What a passage here. Another thing is ridicule. You're going to be ridiculed. I think I was ridiculed. You know, say the name Jesus and the world's response is going to ridicule you because of Jesus. You know, and it, sometimes it's this horrible satanic ridicule. And as I was saying, I was going on the website and I saw something that turned me so angry. I had this righteous anger. They have this game and what would Jesus wear? They have Jesus, my Saviour, on a cross. And they dress him up in underwear. They dress him up in ballerina clothes. And it's one of the biggest sellers. This game in America. And I was absolutely livid. Livid. You know, the depravity of the human heart, the human mind, runs so deep. Sin runs so deep in it. You know, some of the things that I saw just turned my stomach as I was researching, as I was looking at. And I felt so overwhelmed. But then I came to the cross of Jesus and I thought, thank you, Jesus. You've got it all covered. Thank you, Lord. You've won. Take away my rage and fill it with joy. And he did. And it was a beautiful thing. He filled it with joy. You know, we've been given the gospel to take. We've been given the gospel of Christ Jesus. There's another thing too, the word relegation is another thing. That means to assign to to an obscure sort of place to put things out of your mind. You know, if you say the word Jesus to your friends, colleagues, I don't know, Brett, you work in a job and obviously people know you're a Christian, they're okay with it? Yeah. They relegate it, don't they? They say, oh, don't worry about the Christian bloke over here who's trying to do the best. Forget about it. Yeah, the boss, you can tell them off. That's what I used to love when I worked. I still work now. But when I worked... Don't laugh. Don't think it's only Wheeler. I'm coming for you, mate. Stop it. But they would know you were a Christian, so they would laugh at you. They wouldn't include you in stuff. And then all of a sudden, when something goes wrong, who do they turn to? They come up to you. Can you pray for my daughter or my son's having trouble? Can you da 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 da? You know, I've even heard somebody say that Jesus was a great poet. And you all, I don't want to go too far into it, but relegation is just putting somebody out of your mind, out of your memory. Forget about the Christian bloke, guy, woman, child. Forget about them. They're fine. And we are fine because we're covered by the blood of Jesus, so we are fine. Another thing is refusal, rejection. Say the name of Jesus and the world is going to reject you. The world is going to refuse you. Refusal is to hear anything about him, the refusal to consider the love that Jesus has for him. I don't know if you've witnessed to anybody and people say, oh, no, thanks, not today, you know, and they don't even worry about stuff like that. You know, many will refuse to consider Jesus. Many will not even worry about it. Though this breaks our heart, and it should break our heart, because we have got family, we have got some friends, we've got relatives, etc., who do not know Jesus. And it does cause us to break. That causes us to be heartbroken. No doubt that God is heartbroken over this stuff, but he knows better. He sees the big picture. We don't see the big picture. We can't understand. You know, passage in 2 Timothy 4, 3 to 4. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Have you heard that? Itching ears, oh, that sounds good, and I want to continue to hear this stuff here. Sometimes even some of our people, that preachers and stuff that you may find on YouTube and stuff like that, will just tell you stuff that you want to hear. Talk about prosperity, talk about wealth, talk about all of this stuff that God's got to bless, and if you do this, you're going to get that, and if you give more, you're going to receive more. But how about the suffering part of it? How about the growing? How about all of this stuff? You know, how about the things that Jesus tells us? You know, trials, tribulations, all of this stuff that Jesus talks about that's written in the Word of God. You know, so the world says this, but what does the Bible say? You know, in verse 5 and 6 of our passage this morning, it says Jesus is God. Jesus is God. In spite of the world's attempt to relegate Jesus to a place of obscurity, you know, even the refusal to accept the truth that he's God, the Word of God teaches us that he's a second person in the Trinity. He's God. I found this quote, and I'm sorry, unfortunately, I didn't have the person who wrote it. And it says, from the very beginning of its existence, the Christian church has confidently proclaimed that Jesus is far greater than a wandering teacher, a human prophet sent from God. He's God himself in human flesh. Is that important to us? Is that important to us? Is it? Do we believe what, take the atheist point of view and say that Jesus was a great teacher, he was admired, he was respected? No, he is a son of God. He is God. He sacrificed himself. He gave himself for all of us, each and every one of us. This is important. It's foundational. Every aspect of our lives, worshiping him, obeying him, praying for him, with him. You know, all of this stuff that the world considers foolish is what we do because we know the truth. You know, if Jesus is not God, have we believed in vain? You know, were Jesus were just a mere man, we'd be left with some great preaching, some great teaching, some antiquated stories, so to speak, rather than a dynamic relationship with him. That's what it's all about, a relationship with Christ. He brings things alive. He has given us eternity. He has set eternity in our hearts. That's the exciting thing. Made possible by the sacrifice of Christ, being in very nature God. Foundational. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and Word was God, being in a form of God. Worsby says this, the word form means the outward expression of the inward nature. We got Colossians 1:15, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Spurgeon had a couple of quotes. He loved old Spurgeon, had a great big beard. I'm regrowing my beard. Hopefully after next week it'll be big like Spurgeon's. There are three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And these three are one God, the same in essence, equal in power and glory. For us Christ followers, there is no doubt that Jesus was God, is God, and forever will be God, interceding for us at the right hand of the throne room right as we meet this morning. Isn't it wonderful? We know that there's a spiritual battle going on, but we know that God, Jesus, is interceding all the time, all the time, all the time. You know, we're asking forgiveness, we're seeking God, we're doing all that. In verses 7 and 8 of our passage, Jesus is Saviour. We've looked at, this morning, we've shared some communion, we've looked at the sacrifice of Jesus through the death on the cross. We've looked at the incredible love that this supreme act of love that God showed us. He showed the world to provide a Saviour. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't it a great passage, hey? Whilst we were still sinners. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He did this for you. He did this for me. He is our only Saviour, our only true Saviour. And though the world rages against him, and though the world ridicules, and though the world does all this horrible stuff, refuses to believe all of this stuff, we have got Christ Jesus. And that's all we need. You know, Jesus' death on the cross, when you look at it, it was humility, because Jesus went on the cross. It was humiliation. He was willing to go to the cross for each and every one of us. And that passage says, by that very nature, to become a servant. He went further than that. He humbled himself. Humbled himself to the point of death. And what sort of a death was it? It was a degrading death, to be hung on a cross. Capital punishment by the Romans. It was used for foreigners, for slaves, for those guilty of these terrible, horrible crimes. But Christ's death was unique. He didn't have a crime to pay for, did he? What did he do? Nothing. Chris Wheeler? Nothing. At all. Nothing. Nothing. No sin. Nothing. No flaw was found in him. He died for others, paying the penalty for the sins of the world. Would you do that for somebody? Would you do that for our community out there? Would you do that for people who rage against us, who ridicule, who refuse us? Would you die for them? He did that. Isaiah 53:6. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Wow, our Saviour, our only Saviour, Jesus. Swindle. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist to fix up our computer. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist or a church treasurer. Doesn't say that. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent us wonderful, wonderful words. Love of reading Chuck Swindoll. I think Die Jeffs got caught on a train with the doors closed last week, and you were reading Chuck Swindoll, weren't you? Don't laugh. You're the last one on the train. The guards had to come through. What a way to go. Did you show him the book? Did you give him an amen? You can lock me up, guards. I do this for Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Verse 9, verse 11, 9 11. There's a commentator, New Testament commentator, Max Enders, and he says this: following Jesus' humility and obedience, God the Father exalted him to his rightful position of honor and glory. Through the miracle of the resurrection, God gave new honor to the obedient, humbled Son. His name is above every name. He's exalted now at the right hand of God, interceding us for before God. He is Lord of all. He is why we come to church. He is why we breathe. He is the reason for everything. We've got to go into that Christmas season too, and he's a reason for the season. He's a reason for everything. And because he is Lord, one day there's going to be a day, I don't know, today, tomorrow, next 15 minutes, I don't know when it is, where the Lord will return. And on that day, John was singing this first song, Creatures. Every creature will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every person who's raged against him, every person who's ridiculed him, every person who has relegated him to a clown, comedian, whatever, will bow their knees before him. And what's going to happen to them? Too late. Too late. Too late. So what does that mean that Jesus is Lord? Means he's supreme, means he's high, he's lifted high. It means he's sovereign, he's the boss, he's a head honcho, he's a CEO, he's the king of kings who has all authority. Worsby again: men gave him names of ridicule and slander, but God gave him a glorious name. What a glorious name. We sing these beautiful songs in service every day about glorious name, wonderful name. You cannot sing enough. You cannot praise Jesus enough. You cannot thank God enough. But I don't know, in saying all of this, some people have received part of my sermon during the week. Maybe you've had a bit of time to read it. Maybe you've thought about it. Maybe you haven't really accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. Maybe you've just done the church thing. You've come, you've praised, you've sung, you've hung out. We've got to have sausages later. We've got to talk about camping, got to talk about fishing. We've got to talk about all of this stuff. Now, what do you think about Jesus? Has the Holy Spirit been speaking to anybody here this morning? Has the Holy Spirit done any work in anybody's life? Has God's presence shown up this morning and filled you? Have you heard God speak as we have looked at the sun this morning? Well done. Have you heard God's compassionate cry this morning? Do you need to draw closer to Jesus this morning? Do you need to get back to the foot of the cross? And I love that we've just kept this cross here. It's not out of laziness, we've just left it there. It's something to ponder upon every time we come to church. If you never accepted Jesus Christ, I want you to think about it this morning, to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Saviour, and you will live. You know, Jesus became the Son of Man that we may become sons and daughters of God. When Jesus died on the cross, what were one of his last words? My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus Christ, forsaken. Jesus Christ, rejected. Why? So that you may be accepted as God's beloved children. So that we can call God our Father. Accept Jesus Christ as your Saviour this morning and live as God's righteous children. When Jesus took away our sinful position, do you know what position he gave us? He gave us a righteous position. We received a new, holy and perfect spirit. We became a new creation because of Christ. The presence of the Holy Spirit is in each and every believer. You know, you accept Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, and you've got the Holy Spirit in. Jesus has given you a new status this morning. The grace of God isn't only God's undeserved favour, but also God's empowerment to lead a new and abundant life. Jesus died that we might have a life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. The sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, when I look at that, when I look at the sacrifice, would have served no purpose if we continued to live our life in our old way. Christ shed his blood for all of us to pay the penalty of sin for humanity. Accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior this morning gives you a new nature. We have a new status. We are sons and daughters of the King. How good is that? You're a prince, you're a princess of the King. Anybody ever met the Queen here? Oh, well done, you. But do you know that everybody's got to stand before the real King one day? What a reward, hey. What a reward. Well done, good and faithful servant. Don't you love that? I don't want to hear anything else. That's fine. That's all I want to hear. Well done, good and faithful service. Have you received God's forgiveness? Have you? Have you actually received it? Have you forgiven somebody else? There may be somebody who's betrayed you or done something bad, but forgive them. Just forgive them. Let that go. Have you accepted Jesus Christ today? Today is the start of a new life. I'm going to pray a prayer here. If anybody wants to come and see myself or David or Daryl or Max or even John, who was leading here this morning, come and talk to us. This is really important stuff. Don't let it slip you by. Don't let it slip you by. You know, we've got 70. It's about 70-odd years. Some here have been blessed with another score or so, and bless you. Life is only about that much. It's a mist. It's a vapor. In the Hebrew, I think it's habal. That's what it is. But then we have an eternity. Let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, for too long, Lord, we've probably kept you out of our life and we failed to give you every aspect, every dimension of our life, Lord. Lord, but sometimes we've closed the door on you and we've closed it on your face and now, Lord, we ask that that door be opened up again. Lord, and by faith this morning, we want to receive your gift of salvation. That beautiful gift of salvation, Lord. Lord, some of us this morning may be ready to trust in you for the first ever time, Lord. Lord, even some of us here that you know who have been these people who have raged against you, Lord, who have relegated, Lord, ridiculed you, Lord. We want to come before you and we want to apologize this morning. Lord, we believe that you are the Son of God, who died on a cross for my sins. Lord, and you rose again from the dead on the third day, Lord. Lord, I want to say thank you for bearing my sins, giving me the gift of eternal life, Lord. What a wonderful gift that is, Lord. Something that we do not deserve, Lord. Lord, I believe these words are true, that you love us, that you never forsake us, that you are with us till the end. If there's anybody here who has prayed that prayer, come and see me afterwards in Jesus' name. Amen.